Okay, everybody side. Last week we spoke about the Beis Yosef's connection and the attitude towards the Chovas Halvavos. And we move on actually in the same Tkufa and the same area, talking about also one of the Gedolei Yisrael who made a particular mark in his lifetime, producing and being the Mechaber, one of the most Choshev Yisforim and Musar, the Baal Reishis Chochma. The Baal Reishis Chochma, his name was Rabbeinu Eliyahu Dividas, who was born in Eretz Yisrael, in Tzfas, and later on he lived in Hebron, and he was Nifter in Hebron. He is mentioned he was born in Tzfas, and he was known as a great Baal Mekubal because his Rebbe Muvik in Kabbalah was the Ramak, Rav Moshe Kor Deviro. In the past years when we were discussing, we had the various shiurim in the Mesillas Yesharim Ramchal, and we spoke about a little bit about the Torah HaKabbalah and so on. We mentioned and very often came about the name of Rav Moshe Kor Deviro as being the greatest Baal Mekubal. Probably the only rival that Rav Moshe Kor Deviro had in Kabbalah was the Arizal himself. But other than the Arizal, he was considered to be the greatest Baal Mekubal. So the Reishis Chochma, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, was a Talmud of the Ramak, and also he also studied under the Arizal as well. As mentioned, so if Yomov, he lived in Hebron and became a Rosh Yeshiva there. And he became a Yosem quite young, during young age, and he was left with nothing. Really, he was left destitute. And his lifestyle, Bechlal, if one goes through the Sefer Reishis Chochma, one could have figured it out. His lifestyle was a lifestyle of all his life doing tshuva, but probably very little averus that he ever did. But that is the derech of tzaddikim. The greater the tzaddikim are always busy doing tshuva. Those who need to do tshuva don't worry about tshuva. But the greater tzaddik, who probably was chayta very, very little, they're always doing tshuva. As Kiddua, that the Moravi Shemesh brings down, that the Rebbe Meilach himself of Lizhensk used to do tshuva on the great chayta when he was a baby and he was nursing from his mother. And as a little child does, Bishas nursing, his little hand was beating down on his mother's chest. So he hit his mother, little baby. So he did tshuva on that too. This is the derech of tzaddikim, so bring down the svarim. And so basically his life, his attitude wasn't, there's different styles, by the way. Not everybody agrees with that, and certainly it's not a lifestyle for anybody else unless you're up to that madrega. Many were, many are not. It was a life of tanesa most of his life, a life of fasting, a life of a person who denied himself and so on. This was the style of Rabbi Eliyahu, the Mechaber Reishis Chochma. So it's interesting to point out that in the Shaar HaAhava, the Reishis Chochma writes, Ra'inu, he says, Chachomim, Shehoi Bikiyim B'Chochmes HaKoras HaParsuf. We have seen, he says, Chachomim, that were able to look at your face, and were Bokin Chochmes HaParsuf, and by looking at a person's face, Loima Lo'odom Koma She'osa. In other words, a person's behavior is actually written up on his face. But you have to be able to read it. You have to be able to decipher the code and be able to recognize what's that written on the face. Reishis Chochma writes himself that we knew people. And maybe he was one of them, but he wouldn't write about himself. But he writes, we knew people. Re'inu chachomim sho'yibikim b'chochmes hakoras ha'parzev. They b'kim in chochmes ha'parzev lo'y malodem kol ma she'osa im toiv v'imra. Everything is written there. Whether he did good, whether he did bad. And he writes, the way to be zoiche, to have this chochma, to acquire the chochma of chochmas apartsuf, it's not a chochma, you know, that you go to school and study, he says. You can have all the books and all the swarm you want, he says. The elu vadai shloi zochu el chochma hazois haniflo, this amazing chochma, which is kroiv el ruach ha-kodesh, he says. Elo, he said, mitzad maseyem v'chasidusam. So what it means is that if people, you know, claim that they can read your palm or something like that, or they can read your face, so the question always is, you know, what are they doing when nobody sees behind closed doors? What kind of a lifestyle are they leading? And sometimes even you see what they're doing when the doors are open as well. So this is what Reishis Chochma tells us. Anybody who claims to be a Bokin Chochma Saparsif, he says there's only one way. It's Kareva, he says, the Ruach HaKodesh. It's Kroivel Ruach HaKodesh, and the mail of this is the great Maisim and the Chassidus and the Tzitkis that these people possessed. Interesting thing also, that he brings down in another Shah of the Sefer, he brings down in Shah HaYira. In Shah HaYira, he brings down in Perigud Beis, brings down the Rashi's Chochma, another very fascinating thing. He says it was in the year Shin Lamed. The year Shin Lamed, which is 1570. In the year Shin Lamed, he said he had a dream. I had a dream, it was Chodesh Elul. And I didn't have a dream for the sake because I dreamed. But Bali Bachaloim Alaylo, he says, Nefesh Mo'isa Oilon. Says, an Ishama from the other world came to him. An Ishama from the other world. Nefesh Mo'isa Oilon, Acha Pitirosoi Kamoy Beis Chadoshim. It was an Ishama that appeared to him in a dream of a person who had passed away just 2 months ago. I knew this person, that this person had died. He told me that he was being judged in the next world. He says, it's pretty strict up there, more than you could imagine. This is what he told him after his papira 2 months later. So this is recorded in Sefer Eshes Chochem in Shah HaYira. It's interesting to point out that he says that regarding the Sefer Eshes Chochma, that the Chidah, who comments, you know, and you can see by the way he assesses, you know, different Gedolei Yisrael, he writes about very many of them. But here when he talks about the Eshes Chochma, the Chidah, he writes, Sefer Kodesh V'noira HaMefursim B'chol Yisrael. The Chidah writes that. Sefer Kodesh V'noira HaMefursim B'chol Yisrael, V'ashrei Odom, he says, She'yilmoid Boi Kol Yoim. He recommends it. Sefer should be studied every day. The Yasi says, Keva Shir Echod, and a person who does that, Vada Yisnoitzeitz Boi Kedusha V'tahara. A person who does that, certainly, right, was spread out and implant within him Kedusha V'tahara. So let me just conclude about this, that the Chofetz Chaim, his son-in-law, who wrote in the Hagdomah, of the Sefer, the Chofetz Chaim wrote, and wrote many Sforim, the Sefer on Kotshim. The Sefer that Chofetz Chaim wrote on Kotshim, so the Hagdomah was written by his son-in-law, and his son-in-law writes there that the Chofetz Chaim was noyig. Interesting, Chofetz Chaim was noyig to give him Musa Shemuz, he says, on Shabbos. He says sort of like before Shkia somewhat, before evening time, before Shkia, Shabbos afternoon. He says once B'toich Devorov, when he was giving Musa, so he pointed out, and again, I don't know how many people have ever looked into the Sefer Eshes Chochma, but among all the different shiurim, you know, Shar Ha'ahava, Shar of Love, Shar Havas Hashem, Shar Ha'ira, Yerushalayim, he also has a Shar Gehenim. Shar Gehenim is very, very frightening, Rabbi Yisrael there. The Shar Gehenim talks about this Gehenim Shel Eish, Gehenim Shel Shelig, all kinds of Gehenim. Gehenim is hot. There's all kinds of this cold Gehenim, hot Gehenim, everything like that. So Chaim writes, he says, that what people think, that which people think when they look into the Sefer Reishis Chochma, they think that maybe the Reishis Chochma is exaggerating. He says about Gehenim is a Guzma. Chofetz Chaim said it's a mistake, he says, but it's exactly the way he writes it. So there was a Talmud who was there, that Mamish became shot and became frightened and trembled, and probably fainted away. He heard it. So Mamish, the way it said in the Chishma, he must have looked into the Reishis Chochma, he familiar with the Reishis Chochma writes in the Shara Gehenim, and probably it took. The effect that it had on him was a situation that he came to tell the Chofetz Chaim, look what happened to this Talmud upon hearing it. They're hoping that maybe the Chofetz Chaim is going to sort of like maybe neutralize that. Chofetz Chaim got up and said, no, whatever I said before, he said, is still true, 100%, but I forgot to add one more thing, which I should have. The Chofetz Chaim said, it's true that it says all the things that it's mentioned in the Reishis Chochma about the Oinshim of Gehenim, he says, is true. However, any little bit of tsar on this world wipes out, he says, 100 times more tsar of the next world. Which means that the yisurim, the person suffers on this world, takes away much, much more proportionately. So, you know, so a 0.5% of tsar in this world could be like 50% or 70%, much more magnified, he says, and wipes out. So therefore, any little bit of tsar that a person endures during his lifetime here should really know that it goes a long way and is cashing in, and it wipes out a lot of the chatoim, a lot of situations of anshim that possibly could have been his fate in the next world. So a person really should appreciate, I mean, we don't look for Yisurim, but if it happens, our Kupam should know that Yisurim have a Gevaldige tremendous purpose. It's interesting that Balamusa used to say that regarding a person that came to his Rebbe for a bracha, Nebuchadnezzar was enduring a lot of tzoras, a lot of pain in many, many different areas. So he comes to his Rebbe, and he wasn't able to see the Rebbe, so the Gabbai tells him, you know, sit in the waiting room and wait, and when the Rebbe will be ready, the Rebbe will take you. So he was sitting there, and Nebuchadnezzar always gives me chitayir, very, very tired, and while he's waiting for his appointment, he falls asleep. So he falls asleep there in the waiting room, and lo and behold, a shluf dot in the waiting room, waiting to see the Rebbe, and he's dreaming. So what is he dreaming? He's dreaming that he's in Shemayim, and in Shemayim, they are judging him, and he's giving din v'chashin. So he sees in his dream, this is what he sees, that there's a scale. Scale is supposed to be weighing the mitzvahs of the person, and the other side of the scale is weighing the averus of the person. And he sees in his dream, he says, hundreds of malochim, he says, coming, black malochim, carrying heavy sacks of his averus. And they're putting it on one side of the scale, tips it all the way to this side. And he can't catch his breath, he's terribly frightened, he says, this is what it is? I did a lot of mitzvahs too. Sure enough, all of a sudden there's a white malochim. Many, many white malochim also coming carrying bags and bags of mitzvahs, putting it on the scale, and otot it's beginning to tip and to tip and to tip, he doesn't have enough mitzvahs. So he wanted to seal his fate, look at this man, he's a rave averus, it's not too good. But the sentence there is not... All of a sudden there is a baskol coming out. Maybe he doesn't have enough mitzvahs to outweigh his averus, but he had a lot of suffering in his life. Suffering is also worth something. He suffered on this world. So Mamele says, this should also go. So Shemayim agreed with it, that the suffering that this man endured also should be put on the scale. So all of a sudden Malachim come with bags of suffering that this man had suffered. And he put it on the side of the mitzvahs, and the scale is going, He didn't make it. He just needed a little more. And they were just about to seal his fate, and his dream, he cries out, please give me a little more Yisurim, he says. I need a little more Yisurim, he says, I would have made it. At that moment, he wakes up. And the Gabbai says, the Rebbe is ready to see you, give you a bracha for your tzara. He says, no, I don't need any bracha. He says, so, you see, Rabbi Yisai. So this is the situation, this is what the Chofetz Chaim said. Even a little bit of tzara on this world goes a long way. Alright, so why are we mentioning this, Bechlau, is because in many areas in the Sefer Reishis Chochma, he devotes portions bringing down the Chovas Halvavos, and not just a quote, but sometimes he brings quite extensive quotes, sort of like paragraphs from the Chovas Halvavos. The Reishis Chochma is unique in the sense that he was probably one of the first of that caliber in that Kufa to write a Musa Sefer that's also filled with a lot of sources of Kabbalah, in addition to biblical sources, with sources from the Drushim, sources from Talmud, sources from the Gemara, and so on and so forth. So that was this is the Reishis Chochma. To take a look at Rabbi Yisai here at the sheet, and take a look what we have here. We have here a mimer from a sefer called Mar Bechaim, from a great tzaddik, Chaim Brim, Zechoyenu Lebrocha. Chaim Brim was a chassidish yeshiva, choshev rosh yeshiva, a goyin tzaddik, an oved Hashem, very well known in Yerushalayim, just nifter a number of years ago, but very, very popular. His Shabbos table would be open to Hachnas HaSorachim, people, B'nai Torah, B'nai Yeshivas, knew that they needed a meal, a suit on Shabbos, to walk into his house. For many years, he was a Baltfila, used to come from Eretz Yisrael. He used to come to New York during the Yom Noroim period because he was a Baltfila in Square, in Muncie, in Spring Valley. So, Kupon, this is, they put out from him, he didn't write this per se, but it was taken up from various shmuzen of him, from Rabbi Chaim Brim. And the sefer is called Mar Bechaim. So we'll take a look here, Rabbi Yisai, just a few lines here. The first thing here, he says, "Ein lecha odam," he says, "me'usher alei admus." There's no man who is more fortunate. There's no man who is more glicklich, who is more fortunate. He says, "Ke odam hamamin," than a person who believes. A believer, a person who believes, hakosher umedubig be'emuna shleima b'chayu olamim. There's no person that is more fortunate and living a life of tranquility, a life of shalom v'shalve, if he has amunah b'Hashem. if he believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gedol lehu emunah. Emunah is so great. Shebekorcha, with through the power of emunah, yuchal ha'odom lehisnase ulehisalois mal lechol hasoy lebosoy. A person with the power of emunah is able to transcend and rise above no matter what happens. In other words, it doesn't make a difference what is happening really in his life. He is able to transcend with the korcha of emunah. He is able to transcend that, rise above it, and not allow it to really affect him. Kol har, he says, shofaloi. Any mountain, to him is shofal. Mountain seems to be insurmountable, can't climb the mountain. Person who's a mammon, he doesn't see the mountain. It's not a mountain. And if it's a pit or a valley, which is deep, v'chol gai, yisnasaloi. He doesn't see the depth of the valley, deep, deep, deep down. Okay, he sees it, it's flat, fine. V'ha'okum, and anything that seems, appears to be crooked, yiloi lemishur. He's a mammon. This is the way Hashem put me here. This is the way Hashem is giving me. This is the way I am being challenged. Let me show. It's straight.
When
a person comes to a very clear knowledge, when a person acknowledges, if he comes to this yediyah, the person comes to this yediyah that there is someone who leads, who guides the world. There's someone who's the manig olam, this bira, this palace. Hashem is baruch mashkif olam, and Kodesh Baruch is looking upon him, is gazing down upon him. V'doyrish toivosoi, and he believes that Kodesh Baruch is out for his toivo. L'toiv lo kol hayomim, that it should be good for him all the time. V'oy serege, at that moment, when a person has this hakora, has this amun and Hashem, he's never alone. Because mekabu hamamin ben levoya, all of a sudden he has a partner, Kodesh Baruch. Mekabel hamamin ben levoya, he has a partner, hatsomer loy b'chol drochov, who is always with him, never leaves him alone. Kemamar akosav, the posuk says, Hashem shemrecho, Hashem tzilcho, in one of the Shiram Allison. Hashem shemrecho, Hashem protects you, and Hashem is tzilcho, protects you like he's your shade. What does it mean, he's your shade? So v'yisa b'shemor and abal Shem Tov. They send the name of the Baal Shem Tov. What does it mean, Hashem Tzilcho? So Baal Shem Tov said, Hashem's attitude towards you is like shade. Shade, how shade works is, the shade of a person is a reflection of his own actions. You stretch out your hand, then the shade will stretch out your hand. You move your head, the shade will move the head. Shade basically is a reflection of actually what you're doing. Hashem is your shade. Which means the way you are conducting yourself towards a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the same way Kodesh Baruch Hu conducts himself to you. You are a reflection of how a Kodesh Baruch Hu will be knowing with you. It all depends on you. Like shade. Shade depends on how, what you are doing exactly. It's reflecting what you are doing. Hashem is your shade. So Hashem Tzilcho says the Baal Shem Tov, Shekidugmas HaTzeil Yodom, the same way that tzeil is a reflection of man, Kachu Hashgochas V'kirvus Hashem L'odom HaYisraeli, the same amount of Kravishap, how close a person will be to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem with him, it all depends, V'hakol Tolu L'fiyan Hogis Odom Im Hashem. You want to know how close Hashem will be with you? Well, how close are you with Hashem? V'chein Odom, she zoiche, he says, lahakor b'Hashem, the person zoiche, to recognize Hashem. Hamamin umamin boy, harei kechol shetigdal umenosoi b'Hashem, the greater that his emunah will become greater, kach yitzke lashgechos will be zoiche for all the more protection, and so on. So emunah, as we've mentioned many, many times, emunah is not a one level item. But emunah has many, many levels, mamish going down from level 1, going down to level 1,000 and over than that. It goes in different madrigas, and different people, we all consider ourselves to be maminim, and yet the level of emunah is different. Today liskois, lover lemunah shalema berura. Now, we all want to be able to grow in our area of emunah. So what can we do to be zeiche, to enhance our emunah? That our emunah should become greater than it is. So he says, one of the things is, he says, Yesh lahapil siach b'tfilah l'Hashem Yisborach. You should daven for that. But the many things that a person davens, it doesn't occur to you to daven that I should be a mamin b'Hashem. Because even though obviously you're davening, you are a mamin b'Hashem. But again, the madrege and the levels of emunah, so a person should daven to Hashem, he says, sheyiftach liboy, that Hashem should open his heart, the einof, in his eyes, b'minutza Yisborach. He says, you can't compare, he says, the munah that a person has when things are going pretty smooth. When a person is living a calm life, so then there's only one level of the munah you need. But when a person is under duress, when a person is being challenged, when a person is undergoing difficulties, now your munah is being tested. You need a higher level of the munah. So the emunah that you think that you might have when things are going the normal routine of life, in the daily routine of life, that certainly, that's not the test of your emunah. Your emunah is when it's being tested. And therefore he says, a person should be mispalished that every opportunity, he says, that his heart should be complete with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Sifra Hanaviim Vaksuvim, look through Tanakh, Meleim Ugedushim, they are filled all over the Psuke Emunah Butochim, with many different psukim regarding emunah, faith in Hashem, trusting in Hashem. L'lamed is b'nei Yisrael, l'echoiz b'umnes avisayim, to keep, and we should continue to accept the emunah that our forefathers had, and our Rabbi Seinu and our great rabbis, G'doy l'moyre Yisrael, those who illuminated the world. They were on the high level of emunah, shebechol zman. They were on the highest level of emunah that no matter what the situation, shebechol zman v'idon, whatever time period, lo notchu, they never abandoned chayzik amunosum. No matter what happened throughout their life, they did not abandon, neglect the strength of their emunah. Kisha'al kol gal v'gal shover alayim, no matter how many waves went over them, and they had to rise above the waves. Harei lo rak, not only that the waves didn't weaken their emunah, not only shechaz v'sholom lo niskarer emunosum, not merely that their emunah didn't become, right? Didn't become weaker. El yaseir al kach, which is the opposite. Shekol elu dinesiyonis made him even stronger. The more they were tested, made him stronger. He says chisku es rucham v'koshit d'veikis amenusam, and the power of truth of how close they were connected to Hashem. Beboyer elomim b'malo yisromis v'nevav, tremendous, tremendous mila. You know, emunah, as a matter of fact, is something like anything else. The Biskrov used to say, Biskrov had a very small koil. Talking about Revelville. Well, the Shiva is Brisk, which is a large Shiva, but even Brisk, by the way, there's a number of Brisks, about 3-4 Brisks, you know, that's just all there. So you have Rabbi Meshua Brisk, but you know that his uncle, of course, was David Brisk, but there's Ramey Soloveitchik, there's another brother, David's brother, Ramey Soloveitchik. He has a very small Shiva, about 20 Bachrim or so, very, very few. So not all Brisks have big yeshivas, have small yeshivas, and the same is all the Brisk, the Brisk Roof's Kinder, the Reiniklich. You know, that's what it is. Now, so Dovah had a koilu, and we once mentioned that, of course, I had to pay every month the Bnei HaKoilu, and it wasn't easy always to have the funds ready for them. And when the time came, he had to do what he had to do in order to see to raise the money. And there was a particular Gevir who saw that, and he offered to pay, he says, a whole year to donate money for the whole year to pay for the koilu. And the Biskov says, I refuse to take it. He says, you know why? He says, because emunah is like a muscle. Bitochen is also like a muscle. The more you use the muscle, the stronger it gets. If a person doesn't exercise, right? Then becomes, so atrophy and so on and so forth. He says, imida, bitochen is also the same thing. Kol zman I have difficult paying my bills, he says, to pay the Bnei HaKoil, I have to use bitochen Hashem, he'll say, help me. You give me for 1 year, so for 1 year I don't have to worry about it, he says. My imida bitochen goes down. He says, bitochen is something, you have to use it. So I need the need to use it, he says. And without a need to use it, become weak. So at the time of an Nisoyim, at the time of an Nisoyim, not only said the great people didn't become cooled off, didn't become niskara, just the opposite. Because now they're using it, now they have a real need to use the bitochen. If you have a need to use the bitochen, it becomes even stronger. So not only didn't become weaker at the time of an Nisoyim, as the Chaim Brim points out here, but even back then, it became even stronger at that time. So we go here, number two. So he says over here, Mikan Limud Godel. He says, "B'Talmud Hamevil De Maise L'Chol Yochid V'Yochid." He says, a person should actually study, which will bring it into practice. Every person B'Cholays B'Cholzman Shafilam Chaz V'Shoyim Boim Olav Nesrein Is Koshim. Study this over and over again, that even if Chaz V'Sholem difficult Nesyonis challenges come upon you, Rafil he says, "Hey, Mekoshim V'Nesoyim Racham Al Islam." These seem to be more than you can bear. He says, Yeshon Ladaz Veliskar, you have to understand, Shekol Matarosom, the purpose is Livchoin, is to test this Oymitz Vegoylam and Nusainu, to see how strong we are in Amunah at that time. The garment, remember, the Novi says, Micho says, Kinofal Tikamti, says the Novi. Micho says, in spite of the fact that I fell, that I rose up again. Falling, Rabbi Sai, is not sealing one's fate. Falpi Kamti. But it goes more than that. We'll soon see what it means. Kina Falpi Kamti. Vezois Mishum. He says the reason is because Shegam Kiyeshiv. These are the words of the Novi. Because even when I sit B'choshech Hashem Oily. So even if I sit in darkness, but the fact I'm connected to Hashem, it's light for me. Hashem's presence around me gives me light. And the fact that when we undergo a test of Amunah, we are zeiche, he says, l'ha'oras amunah davke mitoich, he says, ha'chashecha. To darkness, that's what strengthens our amunah, because that's when our amunah is tested, and that we are prompted and encouraged to utilize it, to use it, and to be mechazik ourselves. And so, when you do have that amunah, then it becomes transformed into, he says, a very clear light. One more nekuda here, Rabbi Yisai, number three here. He brings down here, B'shem Arava Kodesh Moshe Mekobrin. The Moshe Mekobrin, that's the, you know, the Sheirish of the astronomer Chassidus, stammt von Moshe Mekobrin, was one of the early Rebbes from which the astronomer Chassidus comes from. He said, very interesting, we say in Harel, Ha'emanti Ki Adaber. Ani Anisi Moed. So Moshe Mekobrin said, one of the ways, he says, that a person can be zoiche, to rise in Emunah, to grow in Emunah, you know how? Talk about it. If Emunah is on the back burner, he says, that becomes like an abstract concept. For something to be able to grow and to develop, you have to be involved with it. So how are you involved with it practically? By talking about Emunah Bashem. So he said, Ha'emanti ki adaber. I came to realize Emunah. Ha'emanti. I came to realize Emunah, you know how? Ki adaber. Because I spoke about it. That was his title of these words. He said, Ubiya Bikotre. So he explained. Bomar he said, Shoa Eitza Hayutza is the advice he says, L'chizik be'emunah, where a person can strengthen himself in Emunah, while Yidei Hadibur, he says, V'hasicho binyon Emunah. Emunah should be a topic, should be a relevant topic. If it's a relevant topic, then there is an opportunity for a person to grow in Emunah. But it's something that because you never talk about it, so how is it going to work? How is it going to grow? How is it Bechlau going to have any strength and any power? So it goes on further. He says, the Isa Bishem Kodesh Yisrael Merujin. The Rishoner. The Results Rishoner said, Shoma, Shebedor Basroi says, in the last generation before Mashiach comes, which is our time, our period, the Rishoner said that many, many years ago. The Rishoner said that in the last generation before Mashiach, Ikfas of the Mashiach, when the footsteps of Mashiach, right, are here. Tis Gabriel Ma'oidi says, Inyan HaNesoyim B'Munah. The test of the Munah will be, he says, the Nesoyim on its greatest level will be, he says, before Bias HaMashiach, Ad Kedei, he says, to the point that Lehayoches V'Lamed Hetev Be'Amida Eisono, he says, that in order to be able to stand your ground, Amida Eisono means to be able to stand your ground strong, Mul Nesoyinus Amunah Yitzdarchu La'amol B'Zeyes Apayim, hear that? To be strong in Amunah, because unfortunately later there will be so many different Nesoyinus. There will be so many things in the political world, and you see what's happening to Jews and so forth, which sometimes are all types of different ideas that come into people's mind. They start to rationalize. And they're able to challenge your Amunah. And you begin to ask questions. That's Bechlal, that's on a global scale. And then in your private life, Shindan Azachin. So all the different Nesoyinus that a person goes through, whether it's health issues, panos issues, Nesoyinus, Shidduchim issue, whatever the situation is. But he says it'll be so difficult. Look at the Lashon Derishna said. The test of Amunah will be so difficult as trying to climb a wall. He says, K'may hametapes al kir cholok. Imagine this. You have a kir cholok, you have a smooth wall, there's nothing to hook onto. Imagine try to climb a wall. So al kir cholok, he says, Ha'osri kule avne shayish. Try to climb, he says, a straight, smooth marble wall. Try to climb that, he says. Beloishum, he says, blita. Right? There's no ledges. There's no blita. There's not some ledges, he says. Umoke machiza. Kachit stachu. Lamoil, he says, you're going to have to toil kede lamoid esom to be able to stand strongly, firmly. So he points out here, Reb Chaim Brim says, Nisoyinus don't mean necessarily Mesiras Nefesh. He goes on to explain. What defines a Nisoyin? What defines a Nisoyin? He points out, V'zoy Yesh Lo Das, She Nisoyin B'Emunah Eina Chavona Davke, She Yova Yolov Nisoyinus Shibinom Yehoig V'Yavar. Nisoyinus don't mean Davke, you know, either life or death, choose. That's tremendous Nisoyin. There's other Nisoyinus that are equally Nisoyinus. It doesn't have to be the Nisoyin of the Akedah that we're asking you, you know, sacrifice your son. Because the Nisoyin Shabram Levino be Kipshin Oesh. Turn the side, number four. And we should call Nisoyin HaKotin B'Yosef. Says every small Nisoyin Shemenatis Odom, the Amida Esono, that he has to stand firmly. B'chol Mitzis Esoy Loisese. B'chol Siv Shem Shulchan Aruch, he says. Call Elo Mahavin Nisoyin B'Munah. It's all this. So when a person in Yiddishkeit is being tested, whether this Siv in Shulchan Aruch, is that really so important? It's Tayag Mitzis. Let's all do one less. What's a good fellow? Do one less. That's a Nisoyin and a Munah. Why? Because the Munah is that Hashem, in fact, was mitzavah us and gave us all of these mitzvahs. So any area of Shulchan Aruch, when we are being tested, could be the area of Elochai, could be the area of honesty, could be of Sheker, could be the area of Lashon Hara. That's a test of the Munah. We isolate it on the Aveira itself. But the Nisoyin on that particular Aveira, what my attitude is it a big Aveira, is it a little Aveira? How important is this in my eyes? That's a Nisoyin and a Munah. That's what goes back. If you trace it back, you trace it back to a show, it says every little thing, every little Nisoyim that challenges you in your Yiddishkeit, yes, do it, not to do it, should I do it, am I able to do it, am I strong enough to do it, and so on, is always really a test, ultimately comes down to a test in the Munah. So, Rabbi, I want to show you, move to number 5. If you want to go to this point here, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevich. Chaim Shmulevich said in Mama Lamed Zayin, the year Tov Shin Lamed Beis, year 1972, which he gave a shmuz, and just to give you a little agdoma, the agdoma is talking about a person who was a tremendous Rosha. A tremendous Rosha, Ayid, whose name was Yosef Mishita, as you're going to see. Because Yosef Mishita, and as we see, the Yokum Ish Tzereres, and we're going to find out a very fascinating episode that Chazal tell us this story. But in order to understand what happened here, Reb Chaim gave a shmuz, and I think in any person's life there are going to be times when you go through it and you need these few words of Reb Chaim Poshet as a chizik in a person's life. So let's take a look a little bit. Medrash tells us that Bishor, she says Shebikshu Soinim Lehikonis, he says Leharabais. I apologize, my reading is not that great here on the sprint here, but I'll do the best I can here. Should have taken the glass, I don't have it. So says Bishor Shebikshu, he says Soinim Lehikonis Leharabais. At the time when the Soinim, the enemies, he's talking about the Soinim, the enemies, talking about the Goyish enemies who ultimately destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. When they came to the Harabais, they came to the Temple Mount. Amr, they said, Yikonet b'mnei Yisrael t'chile. Interesting thing that even the Goyim had some fear. So before we go in and try to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, let's put in some of the Jewish people first. Yikonet, he said, b'mnei Yisrael t'chile. Amr lo, he said, le Yosef. This Yosef was a Rosha. He said to Yosef, he says, Yikonet, you go in. And he told them, you go in and whatever you take out from the Beis HaMikdash will be yours. So this was sort of like an encouragement or like an enticement. He goes to Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash had a lot of kelim, a lot of choshev kelim. Some made out of gold, some made out of silver, as you know. So then go into the Beis HaMikdash, and you know what? Whatever you take is yours. So Chazal tell us that Nichnes, he went in, v'hoitzi menoyre shozov. He brought out a gold menoyre. Amruloi. So the Goyim, listen to this, the Goyim, the Rishoyim said, Ein darko shel hegit lishtamish bezu. They did not allow him to use it. They went back on the word. Because you're taking something too choshev. And the Noir shel Zohov, nah. Noir shel Zohov in the Beis HaMikdash, they had cheshivas for the Beis HaMikdash. They had any type, Ein, he says, sepastnish, he says, that a hegit like you, a commoner, a nobody like you, should be mishtamish, should be able to use the Noir shel Zohov. So what they said to him? Go in again, and now what you take out, they said, again, same offer, will belong to you. So they said to him, Elohi konis pam shni, go in a second time, Uma yisa sha'atra moitzi shalachohu. Whatever you take out will be yours. Veloi kibel olof. Not going in. Omar, all of a sudden you had a hira tshuva. It's an amazing thing. I mean, just the words of Chazal itself, this maisa. He was a great Rosha. Omar, he says, Dai, it's enough shehich asti as bayri pamachas. Enough that I made a Kodesh Baruch Hu angry once. The fact that he went in. Because the purpose of going in was, this was the beginning, this was the haschola of Churban Beis HaMikdash. He went in on behest of the Rishoyim to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He went in at their behest. He says, not only, he says, the fact that I went in once, it's enough. It's enough that I anger a Kodesh Baruch Hu once. El HaShachisenu, he says, Pam Shnia. I should anger him a second time. So you'll say, okay, that's his opinion. How strong is his opinion? How strong is it in his conviction? You know what they challenge him? Ma osu. What did they do to him? Ma osu lo, yisei chazal. Nos noisei. It's an unbelievable thing. Nos noisei, he said, b'chamoyer shel charoshim. Chamoyer shel charoshim is daf, he says, over, it's a thick board. Shemegardin boy, he says, hanisorin. You know what the carpenters use? The carpenters use in order to plane, you know, to smooth wood. It's full of, put that on a person, he's cut up into pieces. Take that thing, they put them on a board that had these nails, these sharp edges, that the carpenters use for smoothing. They put it on the skin. In other words, either you go in, or we're going to tear you apart. We're going to tear you apart. This person was a Russia. Half an hour ago, he was still a Russia. And he said, I'm not going in. And now they're saying, you're not going in? This is what we do to you. You're going in? So what happened is, Boyoim Ramloi. They told this, they boy, a Nasrim boy. And then they planed him. Right? They scratched his skin with that tool. And he would cry out. What did he say? Did he say, oi, it hurts? That's not what he said. Oily shechasti leboyri. It's unbelievable. You see, this chazal. Now look what Reb Chaim sees. Reb Chaim Shmulevi sees like this, he says. Hine! What you see from here is like this. This person by going in, let's understand something. This person by going into the Beis HaMikdash, this was the Haskhola of the Churim Beis HaMikdash, which they sent him in because they were afraid to be the first ones to go in. So they wanted to send in like a scapegoat. You go in. And you start doing things which is the Haskhola of the Churim. For a Yid to do that, as much as a rush as he was, this was already a tremendous nefilah. He was rock bottom. A Yid who is going to be a shutef of the Churim Beis HaMikdash, can you imagine? Hey? How low can you fall? He reached rock bottom. After he reaches rock bottom, he becomes a great tzaddik. The beginning of this shmuz is on the posik in Micha. He says, the posik says, Oilid, as the posik says, after shenofalti kamti, which means after I fell, kamti I rose. But it's not just after I fell. Reb Chaim puts up a theory, it's because I fell, I rose. When you have a tremendous yirida, there is within a person the ability to rise up, and not just rise up, to rise up higher than you ever were. Had you not fallen, you never would have come to those madrigas. So it comes out that not only the nefilah is not a hindrance, it's not just blocking your growth, the nefilah contributes to your growth. That's how you grow. You fall and you get up. How does a child begin to walk? He falls five times. Yeah, falls, gets up. Sheva yipul tzadik becomes, is the posik. Tzadik will fall seven times, we become. Sheva yipul tzadik become. You fall, you get up, you fall, you get up. But not in spite of falling, I got up. Perhaps there's more. Because I fell, I got up. That's what you see from what happened to this Yosef. That's what happened to see the Yosef, who was a great Russia. And he hit rock bottom to go into the Beis HaMikdash. Now take a look at Loshon Reb Chaim, the way Reb Chaim puts it. He says, "Hina nefilosa mitchila." He says, "Hoisa." He says, "Gedoyla v'amukela ishir." His nefila, how he fell, how lowly he fell, was so deep. He says, "You can't imagine it. You can't measure it." Hakoyshir v'afelo. He says, "Shoy yeshara boy hoya oyim v'noyra." He fell to such lowly depths. B'chlal, his career of riches, and now he hits rock bottom. Was unbelievable. He says, "Oyim v'noyra, awesome." Not only that, he says, you know how low he fell? He fell to a madrega that even the Rishoyim, the Goyim, they said you can't use the Menorah. He wasn't sensitive. Yeah, why can't they take the Menorah, the Beis HaMikdash? So they, even the Rishoyim, had even more sensitivity than he had. You know, he fell even lower. He was so low. That's the quote of Reb Chaim. Bizman she'afasoinim. That at the time that even the enemies, machrivei hamokah, the enemies were destroying the place. Lo'heizu, they didn't have the chutzpah, didn't have the hoze. Lo'heizu, he says, lo'hikonet b'toich etchilah, they also didn't want to go on first. Ho'yosef mishita, he says, he was able to go in. He was mukhin to do that. Ve'hiskim lo'hikonet etchilah. They couldn't go in first. He was masking, I don't worry about it, I'm going in first. Not even that, when he takes out the menorah, the avkish or itzi menorah, lo'hirgish, he was not margish, he did not feel mashigish vasonim. He didn't feel regarding the menorah what they felt. Shein darkei shel hegi d'shtamish kizu. He didn't feel that. So he felt mighty low. Imagine how low he felt. Lower. Didn't have even the sensitivity that the Rishoyim had. V'oz, and at that moment, when he hit rock bottom, V'oz, he says, Soma liboy lahargish es oitzem, he says, shiflusoy. Then all of a sudden, he says, oh, all of a sudden it hit him, look where I am. How can I be? How can I fall so low? Then he was able to be margish, he says, how strong he fell, his shiflus. He said, Lepesa ro, le'eze tchum his darder. All of a sudden he realized to what tchum, to what level he sank. He was able to recognize. Vayidei kach, because, precisely because he fell so low, his hair lo yashem, he says. Voman, he said, Daili, it's enough, shechastis boyri, speaking like a tzaddik. It's enough, he says, that I angered the bunch of pamachas. He says, Va'apkishi inuhu, and even when they pained him, they tortured him. Look how he was able to rise, how great he became. That even kishi inuhu, he says, bi yisurim noiroim, shegiru, that they scratched, right? They scratched, as besoro, he says, bedaf, with a board, shemigarba nisorim, a board that's used to smooth wood. Well, his kimli kones, he still did not agree to go in. He suffered the pain. Not only that, but even when he agreed to suffer the pain, what pain? What did he cry out in pain? He didn't say, oi, the pain. He says, oi, oi, he says, I angered the Rabbi Nishloilam. Moirigam Adrege, we have no asoge, he says. Loi oid, Elish, he says, Shebe etzim ha-yisurim ha-moiroim. He says, in the middle of all the moiridige, he says, yisurim halolu. Loi tzumach, he says, machmas yisurim. He didn't cry because of the yisurim. Loi tzumach, oili shechasti izboiri. Berega kot, in 1 second, he says. Nis'ale became so great, mitchum tachtius, from the lowest level. Awesome darkness, reaching tremendous light. He says, "V'hoya Hashem orli." That's what the Nobi says. "V'hoya Hashem orli micha." Hashem became my light. When I sit in darkness, Hashem orli. The vaday is clear, says Reb Chaim. Look what he says. She ilulei she nofal betchila kol kach. Had he not fallen so low in the beginning, if not for the choshech, he would not have come to this great madrega. He says, "Verak," he says, "Keshiro," he says, "Esatchum." He saw the tchum. He says that he's besoichoi. Adikach, he says, "Ozar ois." Right? He took strength. He empowered himself. Tremendous power. He's ala, and he grew the madregas kodesh Hashem through the kiva v'chaveiruf, where they also died al kiddush Hashem. That's what to them. So here we see the godless, and this is what Reb Chaim Rim also pointed out. He says the pasuk is the kenafalti kamti. The test of the nesoyin is when a person finds himself in a isora, and we find that a person can fall so low. That should not, as he says, by the great tzaddikim, it's not something that cooled off the ramuna. Adrab, it was mechazik the ramuna. But we see from Reb Chaim that even the greatest rosha, in the greatest rosha, hitting rock bottom, and dafka because of that, precisely because of hitting rock bottom, he's able to all of a sudden to rise up the tremendous madregas, which of course is a tremendous chizuk. And that's what the Novi is saying, kinofalti kamti, not even after I fell kamti, but because I fell. Sometimes had you not fallen, you just go on with life the way it is. But if you see the matzah that you find yourself so low, that it hits you all of a sudden, you have to do something about it. And all of a sudden you make a complete turnaround. And that's the koyach of a person, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu transplanted and gave this ability to each and every yid. Rabbi Yisrael, we go here to the Chodesh Avodas. Time has moved on a lot quickly here. It's on page Reish Lamed Zayin in the Chodesh Avodas. But it's mamish, the bottom line, the last word. It's on the pnei. You'll see mamish, Reish Lamed Zayin. So real thing is we're doing Reish Lamed Ches, but the last word, it begins with one word, Umipnei, Reish Lamed Zayin, all the way to the bottom, the last line, the last word, Umipnei, and then you turn the page to Reish Lamed Ches. All right. He goes on to say, the Chovis Avodah says, Umipnei says, Shesochlu Amoretz, he says, Bechabdom Balei Hamomoin Besiboy Shakovit. Roshim of the Chovis Avodah is a little bit ambiguous, and in fact the different Perushim of the Chovis Avodah have different understanding in these few words. One of the Perushim, and this is the one we're going to go with, at least in this statement, Chovis Avodah is saying that being that common people who do not understand what's truly valuable in the world, common people who appreciate material, who live their life honoring, he says, the wealthy. Common people who live their life honoring the wealthy, so that means that they exhibit an ignorance of what truly deserves honor. Again, common people, by honoring the wealthy, they exhibit a foolishness. Common people, by honoring the wealthy because of their money, so they exhibit a foolishness in not understanding what deserves true honor. Let's see those words again, see how it fits in. Sochlu means nourish, foolish. Being that common people, ameyoritz means being that common people, are foolish. So common people who have a foolishness, they're thinking that this is valuable, this deserves covet, this deserves honor. If they have this attitude, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, adds more ignorance to them. In other words, they basically dig a trap for themselves, a pit to fall into. He says, "Besibis bakeshosom." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead, and he adds more sichlis, means he adds more foolishness, right? In the way that they go about their parnosa. In the way they go out, bakeshosom means the way they are seeking their parnosa. The Naflu. One way is that the Naflu bihishtablus gedoilo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them this drive that they don't rest day and night, they keep pursuing, strenuous effort, the gear rabo, and much toil, kol yomeihem. This is how they live the life, there's no menuch in the life. The whole family life is disrupted. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, sometimes even Shabbos, whatever the situation is. The whole life is just busy, consumed after one thing, amassing fortune, being mar behoin. And as a result, they are neglecting Masho Yechayovin Lishtavaboy. Instead of putting effort into Avodas Hashem, that's the Machayev. They should have been Chayev Lishtavaboy, Ulamaher Elov, and should rush towards it. Mahashlim Choyvis Haboyre Asho Aleim. They should put their Shtavus and their effort in what they owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Means in Avodas Hashem, do mitzvahs, and the Lahoybeis Al Toyvois of Etzlam, and to thank Hashem. But no, that's not where they put their effort. They don't put their shtavlis in Avodas Hashem, which are his chayvis, which they owe Hashem. They don't put in their effort and their yegiah in thanking Hashem for all the toivis that Hashem does. He says, Bakushoisom yoser kreivis aleihem b'derech hazeh. And Amela, he says, had they, because Abba is saying, had they put more effort into Avodas Hashem, had they put more effort into thanking Hashem, then they would have realized success in their achievement even quicker. They think by putting in more koyach, he says, into the effort, into their pursuit, and forgetting about and neglecting Avodas Hashem, that that's going to guarantee the success. Says the Chosavov, just the opposite. V'tihiyenu bakishoysom, their bakoshim means their pursuit, would be yoyser kreivis aleihem. Would have been even closer to them. They would have been more successful. But their chazeh b'lisofik. Had they also had a HaKadosh Baruch Hu in mind? Had they also had a HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a partner? Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their Avodas Hashem, their chayvis to Hashem would have also been part of their lives. And not fully, completely, being immersed in Shikua. He says, in all of their shtavus, in all of their koiches. Only, he says, in amassing wealth, they would have been more successful. As the Pesuk says, Kama Shomar HaKosuk, Pesuk says, Oirech Yomim B'Yamino, regarding the Torah. The Torah on the right hand, on the one hand, the Torah gives life. The Torah is an elixir of life. The Torah is Ariches Yomim, as Gula for Ariches Yomim. And Bismayla is Oishav Ekovit. So you're surrounded with all the Brocha. A person connected to the Torah on the right side, he has his Ariches Yomim, and on the left side, he has Oishav Ekovit. Vohoman, the Novi says, Vohoishav Ekovit Milfonecho. We said in the davening. So we say Voisha Kovim Milfanecho. And the Kavana Voisha Kovim Milfanecho means not just simply HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines. Because even deeper. Voisha Kovim Milfanecho means as much as we stand before Hashem. In other words, had I used my Ishtadlis in Avodas Hashem, serving Hashem, that would have brought me more Ashiris. Because Voisha Kovim Milfanecho, the more Milfanecho, the more that I am before Hashem, the more that I stand before Hashem, that gives me more Voisha Kovim. Voisha Kovim Milfanecho. Then he goes on to say, and just give you a small abdomen, the next few lines, that if a person, let's say, is successful, and he reaches success in his panosa, in his business, through a particular means. Person chose a business to go into, and he's successful in that business. It's Baruch Hashem. Chazavav is going to make a point the next few lines, that if you are successful in the area or in the profession that you have chosen, a person has to realize it's not the means that brought you the Ashiris. It is a Kodesh Baruch Hu that gave you the Ashiris through the means. It's not the means. It's the cause. The cause is Hashem. Hashem, through the means, gave you your parnosa. The person focuses and thinks that the source of his atocha is the means. It's only emtsayim. It's only means. But that's not where it comes from. That's not the source of his brachim, as he points out. As a matter of fact, he says, it's very possible that had he maybe even had a different profession, it would have been even easier to make a parnosa. You don't know. A person makes cheshbon. He says, well, A, B, C, and D. He says, I like this. It goes into that. And he's matzliach, yes. But he thinks that what? He's matzliach because this is the means that I chose? He said, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the parnosa through the means. And it's very possible, through a different means, you would have had it even easier. The same parnosa. So it makes the point that he says right here. The Yesh. That's what he's saying here. The Yesh, sometimes, he says, Shiyemotze Bechlau Mevakshe Hamomen. We find that many times that people who seek wealth, you can find that people who seek wealth, he says, Misha Gia Mimeno El Tachlis Tavosa Biderach HaSibos Asher Zechanu. Some people, let's say, will achieve success through one of the Sibos mentioned above. What's the one of the Sibos? Through Ishtavlus day and night. Okay, so 24 hours he's on the phone, and every day of the week, and he's busy, busy day and night, and he's Matriach. So he thinks it's because of all the effort that he put in, he believes that's the source of his Atzoche. The Somar Ben Simchi Gedoylin has a tremendous Simchi that he's successful in what he's doing. And there are some people, he says, look, other people become rich through inheritance. A relative, rich relative dies, puts him, lives him in his will, becomes rich. So he's also rich. So some people got it through their effort, some people got it through inheritance. So he says, V'yachshoiv, so a person is a Nazoi. The person who got it through Yerusha says to himself, ah, lucky I had a rich uncle. Had I not had a rich uncle, I would be poor. I'm making a mistake. Rich uncle is not the cause. That's just the means. If not a rich uncle, Kadosh Baruch Hu would give it to you a different way. It came out through the rich uncle. The other person, on the other hand, who did not get it through Yerusha, he got it through, right, he felt tremendous ishtablis. Again, he thinks that because ishtablis in this area, to let you be known to you, said the Chavis of Ovis, could be ishtablis in a different area, you also would have got it. Because it's not the ishtablis that gave it to you, it's the Kadosh Baruch Hu who gave it to you through the ishtablis. And it doesn't have to be dafke this ishtablis, as he goes on to say. The Yachshoy, if the person thinks mistakenly, the Yachshav, he says, the person thinks, Ki Asibois, the causes, he says, Chai Vulo Yezeh. See? Person thinks these are the Sibois. The means is what brought me the success. The Lulei Hein, if not for the causes, the Sibois, if not for the means, Lohoya Magia El of Memeno. He said, Kum, I wouldn't have had it. Umishabeach, therefore, so what does he do? Person praises Hasibem Mibalade Hamasadas. He praises the means and not the cause. He cares about praising Hashem. He praises the means. That's what it comes to. So he says, V'kamo hidoyme b'zeh, he says, l'odam shu b'midbar. Chazal, I'll give you an example. A person has this attitude, so the Chazavov, it's like somebody going through a desert. Imagine a person going through a desert and hichbid all about summer. And he got very thirsty. Only naturally, you go through a desert, you're tremendously thirsty. U'matza mayim she'einam mesukim b'barechav. And being that he's desperate, there's water. Could be even dirty water. He finds water that's not even sweet. Water that doesn't taste good. But he sees water in a bar, but being that he's so thirsty, his life depends on it, he's going to drink it. He's going to drink it, and he's going to quench his thirst. The Soma Ben, so he says, the Soma, and he has tremendous simcha. He says, water here, water here, it's water. Best of Avasa, Shlach of Avasa, it's water. So there's a tremendous simcha, the Rava Mehem, and a male, right, he drinks it and he quenches his thirst. Rava Mehem means that what? He fills himself with it, saturates himself with it, and he's not thirsty. Guess what happened? Continues to walk in the desert. The Kajaholach Mat, as he goes a little bit further in the desert, all of a sudden he sees Umotso Mayo Noiveya Mayim Mesukim. And then all of a sudden he sees a bubbling spring, right? With Gevaldige, quick, stressing water, sweet water. he regrets that he drank the first time. He said, he says, now he has already regrets that he drank the first water. The same thing he says at the Bale HaMoman. He found himself to be successful in one area. So let's say he was successful because of a certain means. If these means had not been available, he says, and it could be even better. Sweet water. Could be, you'll find a different bar. A much better bar you could have found. Kasha Higdamnu, as we pointed out. As the Novi says, Ke'ein la'Hashem ma'atzo Elohi Shia b'rav oidomat. Nothing can prevent Hashem from helping you in many or in few. Because Baruch Hu, of course, is the one who provides. Let me tell you, Rabbi Isai, we always end with the Shtikl Maisa regarding Hashgacha Protis of some sort. It's an interesting thing that famous Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetsky, you know that he held various different positions. People are aware that he was a Rav in Toronto. That's way before our time. We came in the 50s, early 50s in Toronto. He was a Rav there much earlier. And but way before that, he was, for a short while, he was a Rav in Seattle. So Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetsky was sitting in his office. The name of the shul is Congregation Bikur Cholim. That's the name of the shul. I don't know who is sick there, maybe spiritually sick, you know. So, Congregation Bikur Cholim sits there in the office, and he's reading a very harsh letter. He came to America before he brought his family out. So he's sitting here in America, and he gets a very harsh letter. And none of the Olam knows, but a very choshev brother-in-law he had. His brother-in-law was Rav Avrom Grudzinski, was the Mishgiach of the Sobotki Yeshiva in Lithuania. Avrom Grudzinski, choshev Mashgiach, big Baal Musar, was his brother-in-law. And receives a letter, by the way, this was 1937, sitting in Seattle, receives a letter from his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law writes to him very, very harshly, and he says to him, Azoy, if you want to take, he says, your younger children, and you want to shmad them, you want to destroy them with your own hands, then go ahead, bring them to America, he says. But I can't let you take Binyamin and Shmuel. One son is Binyamin Kamenetsky, and one is Shmuel Kamenetsky. He says, why? Because they have already experienced the taste of Torah, he says, in Slobodka. In America, they'll have no future. You know, in those days, everybody knew America's trade in America. People were very, very concerned, certainly coming out to America in those days. So he receives a letter, Bianchi receives a letter from his brother-in-law, Bishum Oifen. He says, I don't want you to take these children out. Don't bring them to America. So Rabbi Yankiv Lamaise felt that he did have enough reason to disagree with his brother-in-law. And the Indian is like this. What was he doing in Seattle? That means he came to Seattle very temporarily. He came to Seattle just to substitute. The Rav in Seattle at that time was here by the name of Sean Pinchas Wolgelanter. A famous Wolgelanter family. And who had to leave with to accompany his wife that comes out of town for medical reasons. So in order that the Kehillah should not be without a Rav, didn't know how long it's going to take, so Bianchi came sort of like the substitute to be there. He becomes acquainted with Rabbi Ephraim Wolpin. Yes, that's Nissen Wolpin's family. And at that time, 1937, Rabbi Ephraim Wolpin was a teacher. He was a teacher in the afternoon Talmud Torah. That's all they had, the level of education. So he was a teacher. And on the side, Rabbi Ephraim spends a great deal of time learning Gemara and Tanakh, he says, with his oldest son, whose name was Mechoel, trying to make up for the yeshiva education that Seattle couldn't give him. So you have here a father being the only malamed to his own son. There's no yeshiva. So Rabbi Ephraim was learning Gemara and Tanakh, and Rabbi Yankiv Fahedim, this Mechoel, he fahers him, and was amazed, Poshet, he says, at the clarity and at the perception and how he knew the material. So, through Mechoel, Rabbi Yankiv becomes convinced, he says, that even when you're surrounded, he says, in a hostile American culture, he said, you still, he says, have the opportunity for spiritual growth. It all depends, he says, on the perseverance of a father and a son. If you have the conviction of a father and a son, he says, even in America, I see, he raised a Ben Torah. He's very despoiled, he says, of the success of Ephraim teaching his son Mechoil. So therefore he wasn't swayed, Bianca wasn't swayed by his brother-in-law's pleas and the musa that he gave him. And what happened was when Rabbi Wolglanter came back to Seattle, that's when Bianca accepted the position. Toronto was 1938, and he brings his family from Europe to Canada. Okay. So it was because of the Wolpins that Rabbi Yankiv decided the decision to bring his family out. Because he saw, you could be successful. So Mom, she kept up that relationship with the Wolpins. Mom, for decades, Rabbi Yankiv and his children, we were very grateful to them. And the Mela, you realize, not only that, it's to be grateful was in addition to that, because bringing out the family that was spared, from, of course, what happened in Europe, and his entire family was saved. And not only that, that they grew up like an American, they became leaders in their own right, as we know. And the Bianchi remained in close contact with the Wolpins, and he made a commitment to attend to all the simchas in Kachavi. So at the bar mitzvah of Mechoil's son, the Sarianinical of this of Rabbi Ephraim, son was named as Yonason, in the year of 1980. So Mrs. Wolpin, who was a Ephraim's wife, going back, you know, to the Ephraim's wife, so she, first of all, she thanks him very much. She says, for coming. And Bianca said, the pleasure is mine. So, and then he added, he says, I have to repeat to you that I mean it, because I realize one of the things in America is people say the pleasure is mine, they don't mean it. But I mean it, he says. It's one of the things that, again, America didn't affect me. People say in America, pleasure is mine, but I really mean it. So Mr. Wolpin asked him, he says, for a brocha. So Bianca says, listen, I see that you, Baruch Hashem, have a riches yomin, because you realize this is already quite a while going back from 1937, 1938, even earlier she went. Said, but you know what? I give you a bracha that you continue to live as long as I do. Bianca said to her, it's on the 13th of Shvat, which was 1998, Mrs. Wolpin passes away. During the Shiva, her grandchildren figured out, very interesting thing, that Rabbi Yankiv lived 95 years and 8 days, she lived 95 years and 10 days. That's right. Yankiv was nifted in 1986, by the way.